Today's scripture reading is 2 Peter, verse 3 to 13. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not waiting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's get into God's word this morning. I'm excited to continue with you through 2 Peter. And today we'll be going through chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. And it's kind of funny because last time I was up here, I was excited to talk about one of my favorite topics in the Bible from 2 Timothy, the return of Jesus Christ. And here I am, almost 2 months later, to talk to you about, guess what? The return of Jesus. But I'm grateful. This is such an important topic for every person in this room today. And until we stand before Jesus on that day. And this is for the believer, for the skeptic, for the curious, for the rejecter, and the indifferent. The return of Jesus will impact everyone in some way. And the heaviness of this subject today is an invite to everyone to consider where they stand. And a reoccurring theme in this passage this morning will be remember. I will remind you every time it comes up in any sort of way. And Peter mentions this in a couple of different ways with different words and different thoughts. And we live in a world that wants to remember. We are indeed a people of remembrance. But not just remembering the past, which Peter mentions in this passage, but remembering that Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready for that. So remembering the past and remembering the future, it cannot be forgotten. For us in here in this room this morning, remembering looks different for all of us. Who remembers their wife's birthday? Or how about getting a gift for their wife on Valentine's Day? Or, you know, wives getting their gifts for their husbands, right? These are things we gotta remember. For some of us, we gotta remember this. And sometimes it's broken and sad parts of history. Sometimes it's something to celebrate. I have moments in my own life that are time-stamped in my brain. For example, my 6th birthday. My parents brought me to Chuck E. Cheese. It was a time of celebration, of cake and pizza. It was quite a different experience for me. In fact, that experience kind of that's as far back as I can go. I can't remember anything before that for some reason. And in 1998, when I was 8, my grandma passed away. And it was just a great time of just a lot of sadness. And not just in me, but it was the first time I remember so many around me being broken and sad. And sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's sad. It's the same for all of us in this room today. But today, what the Apostle Peter wants us to remember is something that has not happened yet, but also remembering that God's word points us to what is coming. And we need to remind ourselves of this every day. The promise of God from the past about something that is coming soon, which is the return of Jesus. So this morning, the main idea I want you to think about is this. God's word prepares us for the return of Jesus and his incoming judgment. I'll say that one more time. God's word prepares us for the return of Jesus and his incoming judgment. And what I mean by this is that God's word, spoken in history and in the Bible, it is pointing us to something that the Bible calls the day of the Lord, his judgment, and the soon return of Jesus. So for the Christian, it's something that needs to be ingrained in us. When it happens, we will remember that God has promised this day. It is for you to remember. It will be a great day of freedom from sin, from the devil, a day of renewal, a day where we will dwell with our righteous Savior, Jesus Christ. But for the unbeliever, the person who rejects God, this day cannot be ignored. It is still a day for you. But this passage teaches us this morning, it will be a terrible day. For you, it will not be a day of hope or a day of celebration. You will see these things in this passage this morning. And so this morning, I have 3 points for you. And like a faithful Baptist, I have 3 R's for you, even though they're all the same word, remember. So it makes it really easy. So starting in verse 1, verse 2, and this is our first point here, is remember that God's word leads us to wholesome thinking. Remember that God's word leads us to wholesome thinking. And this is what it says in verse 1 and verse 2. It says, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." So right away, we see that Peter cares for his people, his readers. And this is why he writes these letters. He addresses them as dear friends. In the first part of verse 1, this is how important it is for us to read this letter. Peter has a certain tone here, a tone that is from a man that cares deeply for his people, for Christians. And his priority, we see in the middle of verse 1, is to give his people, his audience, you, reminders. This is the beginning of that theme, to remember. And the first word we see is reminders. Peter specifically wrote 1 and 2 Peter as reminders to you and to his people. This is important with how we read our Bibles. This isn't just a one-time moment when we sit and read to feel better in the moment or to get an answer to a question in the moment. These words ought to stick to us, to be a part of our everyday lives. This is Peter's intention with writing these letters. But specifically, we see at the end of verse 1, these reminders are meant to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. This isn't meant to make you think highly of yourself, but to think properly about what he has previously spoken about and what he's going to talk about now. But not only what he has written, Peter here, but what is written in the past. So to summarize, wholesome thinking is to recall the Bible. There Peter goes again with this reoccurring theme in verse 2, to recall. Peter is saying in verse 1, I wrote these letters to bring you to a proper way of thinking, but also to recall the Bible. And just what he says again in verse 2, he says, I want you to recall these the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Wholesome thinking ought to lead to these questions, brothers and sisters. What did God say in the Old Testament? What commands has Jesus given me in the New Testament? Peter is covering all grounds here. Bible reading consistently throughout the week is a means of God's grace to you. God has given you this to live a holy life, to fight sin, to love others, and most importantly, to love and to know God. There is an amazing connection between wholesome thinking and knowing your Bible. You cannot have one without the other. Let me remind you of our first point this morning. Remember that God's word leads us to wholesome thinking. But a massive discipline we need as Christians is to remember. We need to remember. Peter is giving to us simply, but I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know that the world has dropped busyness and entertainment on us. But it is a great discipline to remember, and not just remember, but to receive reminders, to get into your Bible, to think wholesome, deeply. But specifically in our text this morning, Peter has given us 1 and 2 Peter for this reason, so that we would have wholesome thinking, that we would recall the words of God from his holy prophets and commands from Jesus through the apostles, who just happens to be Peter, an apostle. Peter is telling you this today, that these letters in the New Testament, the commands the apostles give, it comes from Jesus. This is scripture. It cannot be denied. It must be the foundation of any and every truth we tackle, especially when it comes to issues in our day like morality, sexuality, justice. And before we can dive into a topic like the return of Jesus, God's judgment on sinners with all of its weightiness and overwhelmingness, my brothers and sisters, you need to know your Bibles. And this leads to our second point this morning. Remember what God's word says about his judgment. Remember what God says about his judgment. And this is verse 3 to verse 7. I'll read that for you. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. So remind you again this morning of our main point, that God's word prepares us for the return of Jesus and his incoming judgment. His incoming judgment, which we will see right now. And this is a very heavy part of this passage. It really highlights an attribute of God that we often avoid, either intentionally or unintentionally. It's not easy to talk about God as a judge or God's judgment on sinners, but it is for you to know and to remember. We see in the first part of verse 3, Peter starts off with, above all, you must understand. And this is in light that of all that I mentioned before in the first point. Remember that God's word leads us to wholesome thinking. But what you need to understand is what will happen. Peter says here in the beginning of verse 3, in the last days. This continues with the theme of remembering. Above all, you must understand. It's also along the lines of wholesome thinking, like Peter has previously mentioned. So in the last days. What are the last days? There will be a time when it becomes more clear by the day that the return of Jesus is upon us. I said this to you last time I was up here talking about the subject. The emphasis is not on a theological position of when he will return, but on readiness. And in this passage, knowing what will happen. Your views on eschatology, the study of the last times, what matters is that this pushes you to preparation, to love Jesus more, not merely theological points to remember. There will be signs of the last days. And Peter mentions one specific sign here. Peter says at the end of verse 3, scoffers will come. Scoffers. It's not really a word we use today, but simply a scoffer is an arrogant, prideful person that often mocks and laughs at someone or something because they believe that person or idea is simply stupid. A scoffer doesn't care what I'm saying here today. And they certainly didn't care what Peter had to say during his day either. They don't care about the Bible. They don't care about wholesome thinking. And they definitely don't care about the last days. They mock God for his words. They mock Jesus for his commands. For them, it's just blah, 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 or ha, ha, ha. LITs. I got this one for you guys. You guys know, I love to laugh. Comedy is actually one of my love languages. And I know y'all love to laugh too. And humor is important to you. But I want to encourage you and warn you this morning that you need to make sure that your laughter is not a mask for you just being another scoffer, another mocker. This is not to be taken lightly, like a humorous antidote in your life. Mocking God for his call in your life to repent of your sin and to follow him. This is dangerous. Sometimes laughter or humor happens when God's word is being preached because you don't know what to do with it. But you need to be careful. Let your humor find its right place and make sure it isn't about these serious matters. At the end of verse 3, we see that these evil people here, they aren't just scoffers, but they're following their own evil desires. If you reject Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as God, then this is where you are. You're following your own evil desires. The seriousness of God's warning is non-existent in your mind. You do not take heed, and to be destroyed is of no concern to you. Your mocking is pointing, as much as you laugh or you mock, it's actually pointing to the return of Jesus. And this is not good news for you. Christian, this morning, you need to know that when you see this around you in the world, in the church, in your life, it shouldn't discourage you. But you need to know that the last days are here. This is Peter's reminder to you. It shouldn't panic you or surprise you. Surely it should sadden us to see the disdain and lack of seriousness towards God and his word. But Peter doesn't just call them scoffers for no reason. We see in the beginning of verse 4, Peter is telling us what this mocking sounds like. Specifically with this question, where is this coming, he promised? And Peter is going to answer the scoffer. Not with his own wisdom, or the wisdom of others, but from the Bible, from the Old Testament. In the second half of verse 4, this is what he says. Ever since our ancestors died. Peter is saying, long ago, no matter how things have happened, no matter how many scoffers there are, and how many follow their own evil desires, he says at the end of verse 4, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Christians, this question may come to you either a lot or it's coming soon. People will say, where is Jesus? I thought you said he's coming. Do not take this lightly, brothers and sisters. Many live like death is inevitable. Many live like their casket won't be in the front here one day. And that saddens me. This kind of questioning and way of living, an outright denial, this is a sign of the last days. And it's not to panic you, brothers and sisters, but to prepare you. However, one major divide between the follower of Jesus Christ and the scoffer of Jesus Christ is remembering. Here Peter goes again. But this time, it's the opposite, but the same track of thinking. In the beginning of verse 5, we see, they deliberately forget. What they forget matters, but keep in mind what Peter is doing here with all these words we've seen so far, like reminder, recall, above all, you must understand. Even things like, ever since our ancestors died in verse 4, a call back to the past to remember. And now he's highlighting that those who deny the return of Jesus, who scoff at the return of Jesus, they deliberately forget. What have they forgotten? They have forgotten God. They have forgotten his word. But specifically, we see in the rest of verse 5 here. I'll read for you. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So Peter is being specific for a reason. He's pointing us to God as a creator, God's spoken word. Scoffers have forgotten deliberately that God is a creator who creates by his word, his spoken word. But Peter is pointing this out to make a bigger point to those who scoff and mock. And in verse 6, I'll read that for you in verse 6. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Once again, Peter is pointing us back to the Bible, specifically to Noah. And we saw that Pastor Aaron and Pastor Steve highlighted this same avenue that Peter is using in chapter 2 in the last 2 weeks, going back to the Bible, to the Old Testament. But Peter is highlighting this very important and overwhelming fact for you this morning. That not only is God a creator, he is a destroyer. That is heavy. In God's perfect and righteous judgment, he is a destroyer. It is heavy. Remember what God's word says about his judgment. This is not meant to be read over quickly and pushed aside. There is a day when your scoffing and your mocking and pushing aside of God's invitation, it will end for you. There will be no more invitation. And that's why Peter is pointing us back to Noah's story, where humans did the same thing. They rejected God's mercy, they rejected God's grace, and they rejected his call to live a holy life. And God destroyed them. Not only is God a creator, but he is a judge of sin. But more specifically to verse 6, we see that God is a destroyer. So how do we deal with this? Everyone in this room this morning, how do we deal with this? The world mocks this attribute of God. Many claim that they denounce and reject God and Christianity because of this attribute. Because God is not just a judge, but he destroys. He destroys people, we see in the Bible. He destroys nations. These things are promised. Not because he's trigger happy, but because there are many who reject him. They reject the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. His perfect life, death on the cross for your sins, and his resurrection, but also his imminent return. If God is a holy, righteous, just God, he must punish sinners. We do a whole lot of calling out for justice in our world today. But the world mocks God. The God who created them, who created us. And when he practices his justice, there are many who reject this and they hate that there's a consequence for the rejection. And this is why we need to remember what God's word says about his judgment. It's really important. It cannot be ignored or overlooked. In verse 5, Peter says, "By God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water." And in verse 7, Peter continues in the same line of thinking. He says at the very beginning of verse 7, "By the same word, the present earth and heavens." Let's stop there. What word? The spoken word of God that speaks creation into existence. What is that right now? The earth, the world you live in, believer and unbelievers. Peter says this in verse 7. He says, "By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly." Let the heaviness of this reality weigh you down. It has to weigh you down. It cannot be something light for you to carry. I want to challenge you and encourage you to let your uncomfortableness lead you to ponder, to thinking, to curiosity. Reject being offended this morning and think with us. For those who reject this truth in this room today, I ask you this. Will you remain in your scoffing, your mocking today? Peter says that fire is being kept for you to destroy you, the destruction of the ungodly. Peter couldn't be more straightforward about God's judgment this morning. That those who reject will be destroyed. There's no way around it. And we know what the Bible says. You will not be completely annihilated, but you will be destroyed eternally, forever, in a literal physical place called hell, where the fire never sleeps nor dies. But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be this way for you. And that's why I ask you, will you turn your back to your sin this morning and turn your face to Jesus? You can. You could do it right now, right here, today. Pray to God. Talk to him. Work it out. And this morning, we need to know that God is not just love. We know God is loving. He loves us. He loves his people. But he's not just love. In fact, he isn't even loving in the way you or I can fully comprehend. In fact, because God is love, he must destroy all of which dishonors him and all that continues to put his people in danger. But brothers and sisters, and those who reject as well, praise God this morning. Praise God. Because he doesn't leave us here. God has no desire to leave you where you are. That means everyone in this room right now, he doesn't want to leave you there. And this leads me to our third and final point. Remember that Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. Remember that Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. And I'll read verse 8 and verse 13 for you. It says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. So a pastor of mine used to say that one of his favorite words in all of the Bible was "but." And of course, I would laugh like a child when I would hear that. But here's the thing. This word in the Bible, it's a game changer. In the face of some really hard attributes of God being presented to us this morning, his judgment and destruction of the ungodly, beginning in verse 8. But do not forget this one thing. Here we go. Peter goes back to his reoccurring priority. Remember, this time, it's do not forget. Peter says, dear friends, in verse 8. Peter is talking to his people, those he loves dearly, Christians, saying, hey, do not forget this day. And do not forget this today, that God is not like you. He doesn't think like you. He doesn't dwell where you dwell. And he doesn't abide by rules like we do. He is outside of time and outside our restrictions. But specifically at the end of verse 8, time is not what we think it is. And God does not view time like we do. Remember, this is in response to the scoffers in verse 4 who say, where is his coming that he promised? And Peter is saying this in response. And this is what he says in verse 8. He says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So not only is God's view of time different than ours, but specifically, in the first half of verse 9, the Lord is not slow. Peter says, as some understand slowness. But specifically, God is not slow in keeping his promise. What promise is that? In verse 4, the scoffer says, where is the coming he promised? This is where a lot of us are, where a lot of us are in a Christian walk today. We know Jesus promised he would return. And we know that this is an essential part of our Christian faith. But where is he? Why is he so slow? But Peter is helping you to think differently this morning. Wholesome thinking. We need to stop thinking about God's timing from our human and limited perspective. Instead, God is saying to you this morning, I am patient. And this is what he says in verse 9, Peter. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. Church, this is an encouragement from God in the face of a heavy subject. God is saying this to you this morning. I am patient. I will save those who I have chosen. My people, my holy nation. None of my chosen people will perish. They will all come to repentance. This is encouraging, that God is not slow. He's patient with you today, Christian. He will not leave his people behind. He will definitely save his people. Christian, I need you to let that sink in. That God knew you before the hands of time and still loved you in your sinful state. But he didn't leave you there. He didn't leave you there. He drew you to himself to know and to love his son, Jesus Christ, and to give you his Holy Spirit to live a holy life in service to him and others. His will is this, that none of you in this room who put your faith in Jesus, none of you will perish. But his will is also this. There are many who reject him still, but I will draw my people to myself, and they will come to repentance. This is good news. The fact that you are a Christian this morning, this is good news. The fact that God is patient with you and is telling you, I don't want you to perish. This is good news. And he has given you the ability to repent. This is good news, my friends. Let this good news stir you to repentance. Let the goodness of God on display to his people stir you to repentance. You can do that today. Do it now. Do it now. Before your death, before the return of Jesus. Now we see in the beginning of verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. This specific phrase, coming like a thief, or coming like a thief in the night, is referenced about 5 times in the New Testament. From Peter here, from the Apostle Paul, and from Jesus Christ himself, elsewhere in the New Testament. And in Peter's day, they didn't have security cameras and motion sensors. When a thief comes when you're asleep, you have no idea. It'll be the greatest of shocks. And that is the return of Jesus Christ. And the return of Jesus is promised to be absolute chaos and destruction. And this is what he says in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. This is not an exciting day for those who reject Jesus. It is promised that the earth and all space will be destroyed. But this isn't where Jesus leaves everything. The promise continues. And since everything will be destroyed, he says, in this way, for Christians, Peter has a question for you this morning, and in a way, a reminder. He asked this in the beginning of verse 11. What kind of people ought you to be? I believe 3 very important things from verse 11 and in the first half of verse 12, and I'll read that for you. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. What kind of people ought you to be? 3 things from what I just read here. Number 1, living a life of holiness. Not following the patterns of this world, not giving into the flesh, the temptations of the flesh, but fighting the schemes of the devil with God's people. Number 2, living a life of godliness, pursuing Jesus Christ, knowing him, loving him, serving him, and like we're talking about today, preparing for his return. And last, number 3, with great anticipation, making the return of Jesus the foundation of everything you do, with great excitement, because it is not slow in coming, it is coming quickly. Here's a question for you today, Christian. Are you ready? Are you ready? prepare by following these three things that Peter is pointing us to. And this is why our main idea of this passage this morning is God's word prepares us for the return of Jesus and his incoming judgment. LITs, are you living that life this morning? The Christian life? Like I tell you every Wednesday, the struggle, the fight. Are you fighting for holiness, for godliness? It doesn't matter who is preaching this to you. I need you to know that. Doesn't matter if it's Pastor Mark, doesn't matter if it's me, doesn't matter if it's Pastor Steve or anyone in this room, or anyone who isn't here anymore. It doesn't matter. What matters is what are you going to do about this? Natalia, I'm going to pick on you. I'm sorry. So imagine that history exam you told me about. Imagine you told me you studied hard, and I believe you did study hard. But imagine this with me. Imagine no studying. Imagine going to class and not paying any attention. Imagine going to the exam with no pen, no pencil, or anything that's needed to complete that exam. No sleep, no rest. Is that being ready for the incoming exam? Probably not, right? Being ready is doing your very best to remember what is needed to complete the final exam. Coming to class with all the tools you need to be ready for that exam. It's about the training that you do to get ready for that point. Even if your marks isn't a home run, you prepare yourself. I think your marks are a home run. This is the mindset that we all need to be ready. The mindset that you were in when you get to class that day, ready for that exam. And this is why I say in our third point, remember that Jesus is coming back and we need to be ready. So how can you all be ready today? Put your faith in Jesus. Follow him, love him. Love his people, love those in your life who don't believe, and be excited about Jesus' return. We should ask ourselves every day, what kind of person ought I to be today? And Peter repeats what he previously said in verse 6 and verse 7 at the end of verse 12, and this is what he says. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. Again, a reminder with very strong language. But this time it comes with a message of hope. We know what this means for the person who rejects God, who scoffs, and who mocks. But for the Christian, it means something else. It isn't dread. It isn't fear. It is hope. And this is what Peter says in verse 13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Like I said before, Jesus doesn't want to leave us this morning in chaos and destruction. But his promise in the face of that incoming destruction, the destruction of the earth, the destruction of the heavens and the ungodly, comes a promise of a new earth and a new heaven where perfection and righteousness dwell, where Jesus dwells. And this is where Peter leaves us this morning. In the face of a heavy topic, a topic all of us need to wrestle with to prepare for. The weight of the consequences of our sin is this outcome that we see. But if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your Lord, your Savior, your King, your Messiah this morning, there is a day where this weight will all be lifted from you. The weight of our sinful flesh, being surrounded by a sinful and rebellious world, being oppressed and deceived by Satan. In darkness, there is a light of hope. And this is where Peter wants God's people to see. He says, dear friends, be encouraged, find hope. God is our Redeemer. Remember this today, my friends. Only through faith in Jesus Christ can you escape from the judgment that is coming, to find true love and to find true satisfaction. We all have memories that we remember from our childhood, from teenagers, as adults. Dark memories, good memories. We are indeed a people of remembrance. So remember today that Jesus is coming back. His judgment is incoming. Take this invitation this morning to join our family of God's chosen people. Put your faith in Jesus, his perfect life, death on the cross as a payment for your sins, his resurrection from the dead as a seal for your salvation. We can participate in that now by preparing and remembering together as we await the return of Jesus and to be with Jesus in eternity. And again, I'll read for you in verse 13. Peter says this, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Amen? All right, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And Father, we thank you and praise you for this church. We thank you for every single person here, teenagers, adults, babies. We thank you for all of them because you created them, you love them. So Father, I pray that you would, that this would be a prick in our hearts this morning, that we would not leave this room today without putting our trust in Jesus. And for those who have put their trust in Jesus, that we would continue to prepare, Lord, that we'd be ready as we love you, know you, and love those around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.